it's not that I didn't care about school, but I just realized there was nothing there for me. You know, teachers would look at me and ask me what my problem was, and I'd just tell them, like, this, you're not showing me anything that's in any way at all useful in my life. I know how to communicate. I have a good sense of street smarts, and I know how to count money. And other than that, it's all about, you know, focusing on my talent. And I knew that's what I wanted to do. It was just not a good vocational school for rock and roll. You know, chorus class, go in there and, you know, learn how to pitch up to an E off a piano with some lady, you know, and a xylophone. You're like, no.
Having made the move from a simple hick town to a bustling, happening city, Kid now fitted into his surroundings perfectly. It was to also prove a huge musical influence. The music of Kid Rock is a cauldron of many different musical styles. Although most notably he blends rock with rap, dig a little deeper and you will discover country, blues, funk, and hundreds of other genres. Such a mixture of influences is down in no small part to the city of Detroit and the Michigan area. Having grown up in this city, Kid was able to experience a variety of musical forms. Think Detroit, and artists such as MC5, Iggy Pop and the Stooges, and Ted Nugent often spring to mind. But it is also known for being a city with a vibrant alternative scene. On the one hand, there was the FM radio-friendly rock that blasted from the airwaves. On the other, new styles and beats that were emerging from the underground also had a huge positive influence. Developing a passion for both rock and rap, Kid would listen to a wide assortment of bands and types of music. Bob Seger and the Beastie Boys, Led Zeppelin and LL Cool J, Hank Williams and Houdini, and Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Sugar Hill Gang were all particular favourites of his. It's small wonder that the music he would make later on in life would be so diverse and wide-ranging. Now that Detroit was his home turf, life had changed considerably. As he was no longer living with a large family, he was instead hanging out in the ghettos and housing estates, having to do anything he could to survive. Washing cars, picking apples and cutting grass only gave him meagre earnings, and he had no choice but to stay with friends, sleeping on their floors. Drug culture played a big part in the area, and Kid was no stranger to the scene. Often he would have to sell crack to bolster his earnings, and when he wasn't selling drugs, he was doing them. Sometimes he would take anything he could get his hands on, from coke to cough syrup. These were certainly not sober times, but now at least he had his independence and the time with which to develop his escalating flair for performing. Knowing how to lay down a good groove and how to kick up a thrilling party vibe, he continued to DJ at nightly basement parties, underground nightclubs, talent shows, and for local rap crews. By now, he had made his indelible mark on the Mount Clements area and the city of Detroit. Although being white in a predominantly black neighborhood did not make it easy for him, his reputation quickly overshadowed his skin color. It was not long before he became a local hero for his skills on the turntables and his insatiable appetite for a good time. In 1988, at the age of 18, he had cut his first demos. Now he had finally put down on record his awesome DJing skills and his lewd, street-smart raps. Already, his mixture of styles and mean attitude was beginning to shine through. These demos finally fell into the hands of Dee Nice, a member of the hip-hop crew Boogie Down Productions. This was the turning point. Kid Rock was ready to take the world by storm.